Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6. The text says, "A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come to your word. We thank you that your word truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you that it shows us the way we ought to walk. It leads us, it guides us, it directs us. And we pray that in this time of hearing the preaching of your word, that you would guide and direct us by your word through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this time that you've given now, and we pray all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6. As we continue going through the book of Proverbs and looking at these statements of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, we now come to Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6. There is always time in our life, or there should be time in our life, where we know that we need the help and counsel of other people. There are times where we just need a second opinion, a second thought, another way of looking at it. Maybe we missed something. Maybe we need to get counsel from a spouse or a friend or a brother or sister in Christ to see those things more clearly. And we see in these verses the importance of counsel, having wisdom, and also receiving good counsel. Having wisdom and receiving good counsel. And so the main point of this text is, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength, because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength, because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So my first point, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. My second point, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. And so my first point again, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. So verse 5 reads again, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. We could say the whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. The whole book can be summarized as a book of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to live life in a way that is skillful and a way that is prudent. And so when we are walking in wisdom, it allows us not just to know truth, but to live it out in a way that's skillful and prudent. And so the entire book is about wisdom. The thesis statement of the book, we could say, is either Proverbs 1 verse 7 or Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's 1:7. Or 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight or understanding. And so the whole book is about wisdom. And we see here that a wise man is strong. It's not getting at the reality that a wise man is necessarily physically strong, but a wise man is spiritually strong. He has strength in his inner man, and therefore he is strong. But of course, it can be applied equally to a woman. A wise woman is spiritually strong. And so obviously, if the whole book is about wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, one who is dominated by the fear of the Lord is one who is wise, is one who is wise. And ultimately, our strength is not in ourselves, but in the strength that comes from Christ. He knows that a wise person knows that in themselves they are weak, and therefore he gets his strength from Christ, because we know the scriptures say, when we're weak, then we're strong. So a wise man is one who first knows his native weakness, his native inability because of his own weakness, and therefore he realizes it's through Christ that he can do all things. I want to say this connected with this text. In justification, everyone is the exact same. There's no difference in justification. So justification is the word that means that we are declared righteous in God's courtroom based on what Christ has done. And in justification, everyone's the exact same. A believer that believes and has been believing for 30 seconds and a believer who's been believing for 70 years, they are the exact same in terms of justification. No difference at all. A believer that's in heaven and a believer that's on earth, no difference in justification. Because all of us, if we are truly justified, are justified by the perfect merits of Christ imputed to us, received by faith alone. And therefore, as it relates to justification, there's not 1 ounce of difference of every believer who has ever lived. No difference at all. No difference, because it's all based on the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, in sanctification, there is a difference. In sanctification, there is a difference that you can have a person in their sanctification, even though we are equal in justification, who is more or less, language we would use, more or less mature in the faith, more or less mature in Christ. And so even though there's no difference in justification, there is a difference as it relates to our sanctification. Not everyone, as it relates to sanctification, is equal. John kind of brings this out in his epistle when he talks about little children, young men, and fathers. We kind of see that distinction there. There's little children in Christ, there's young men in Christ, there's fathers in Christ. And I think that's not necessarily talking about age, but maturity. But maturity. And so we see this reality that there are different states someone could be. Someone could be 60 years old and less mature in Christ than a 25-year-old. Because that 25-year-old might have got saved at 5 years old, and he's been a Christian for all those years, and that 60-year-old got saved at 59. And so there are different levels of maturity, our growth, how long we've been a Christian, etc. And so that's true about this, that even though all of us have been made wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, all of us are equally justified, some people are wiser than others. Some people are more are wiser, and therefore some of us are stronger than others. That's just the reality. A wise man is strong, but some men are stronger than others spiritually. And so therefore, this is an exhortation for us of the importance to press on in growing in wisdom. A wise man is strong, and every Christian in some sense we could say is strong because they have the Holy Spirit. But there are levels to strength, and our desire is to be more and more strong in our spiritual life. More and more strong. We want to be stronger and stronger in the Christian life. We don't want to settle for mediocrity, but we want to press on to be wise in Christ, to have wisdom from God, and therefore pressing in the ability to be wise. We see, if you turn with me to James chapter 3, we see what wisdom from above or wisdom from God entails. So if a man who is wise is strong, what does it look like practically? What would be the fruit or the manifestation in our life to know that we are growing in spiritual strength because we are growing in wisdom? What would that look like? James 3, 17 and 18 shows us those realities. James 3, 17, 18 shows us practically what does it look like when a man or woman, boy or girl, is growing in spiritual wisdom? What will be the fruit? Verse 17 of James chapter 3. But the wisdom that is from above, that means the wisdom that is from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So someone who is growing more and more strong, they're first, they have wisdom from above and are growing in that wisdom. First, they're going to be growing in purity. They're going to be growing in purity. They are going to be a person that in their thoughts, words, and actions are pursuing a life of gospel-driven, spirit-empowered purity. Second, they're going to be a peaceable person. They're going to be a peacemaker. Their desire is not to be a troublemaker unnecessarily. They want to be a peacemaker as much as they're able. And so far as it depends on them, they're going to live in such a way to be at peace with all men. They're going to be gentle. They're going to have their strength under control. They're going to be willing to yield. They're going to be a person that is willing to go along with what other people have to say. It's not just their way or the highway. They're going to have a desire to listen to the thoughts and ideas of others. They're going to be full of mercy. They're going to be merciful people, forgiving, overlooking transgressions, being merciful towards others. They're going to be filled with good fruits because they're walking in God's ways. They're not going to be partial, but they're going to be without partiality. They're going to be impartial in judgments and understanding. And they're not going to be hypocrites, but they're going to be sincere in their walk in Christ. And they're going to be filled with fruit, the fruit of righteousness, a righteous life. So if a person wants to know, am I growing in wisdom? Am I growing in strength, spiritual strength? They can just look at this text and say, are these realities growing in my life? Are these fruits growing in my heart and in my life? And it's obvious, it should be obvious to all of us, that some of us are more or less mature as it relates to these things. But this is a way to say, are we growing in spiritual strength? A wise man is strong. A wise man is strong, and we could say it like this. The wiser, the stronger. The wiser, the stronger. This is also a reason why God brings trials into our life. Because it's a way that God uses in our heart and our life to grow us. When trials come upon us, it's a way for God to test us to see how strong we are. And when we go through that test and we go on the other side, we're usually stronger than we were before. And so God brings those trials to make us more and more wise. It's just like if you go to exercise. When you exercise, you might start by being able maybe only to press the bar, which is 45 pounds. Maybe you start there. And then maybe you put two 10s on each side. And maybe you can do that. And you keep putting more and more, but you do it slowly but surely. Because if you try to do all of it at once, you would get crushed because you're not strong enough. But the more you go to the gym, the more you exercise, the more you're able to lift. And God brings these trials. He doesn't bring them all at once, otherwise we'd be crushed. But slowly he brings these different things into our life so that we become more and more spiritually strong, so that when we do experience something especially difficult, he grew us in the strength to be able to overcome, so that we're able, by his grace, to have the strength to push through. The strength to push through. But now we also see that it says, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. So not only is a wise man strong, but a man of knowledge increases strength, which shows us that there is a way to grow in our strength, grow in our spiritual strength. As we grow in knowledge, rightly received, rightly understood, rightly applied, we grow in strength. We grow in strength. There's no virtue in itself of not knowing anything. There's no virtue in that. It's actually the more we grow in knowledge, rightly received, because someone could grow in knowledge wrongly received and not really grow in spiritual strength. But someone who receives knowledge, a man of knowledge, received rightly, that person grows in strength. And so when we are wise, we are strong. And the more wise we are, the stronger we are. And the more we grow in knowledge, the more we increase our strength. And this is why it's crucial for all of us to be in God's word, memorizing it, knowing it, because the only way that really we get wisdom is from God's word. That is where we get wisdom. Wisdom comes from God through his word. And therefore, we could say the more we know God's word, the wiser we are. The more we know God's word, the wiser we are. And that's why it's so important that we have God's word in our heart and our mind, because through the knowledge of the word, through the knowledge of God's truth, is where we grow in wisdom. If you turn with me to Psalm 119, I love this portion of scripture. Psalm 119, starting at verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Connected with the need for the word of God and how it makes us wise. Psalm 119, verse 97. And I'm going to read down to verse 100. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, or the elderly, it could be understood, the aged, because I keep your precepts. So we see here, the psalmist is saying, I love your law. God, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And you, through your commandments, because I have your commandments, I'm wiser than my enemies. And then he even says, I'm wiser than my teachers, or I have more understanding than my teachers. Why? Because your testimonies are my meditation. He even goes on to say, I know more than the old people. Why? Because I've kept your precepts. So what he's showing is because he has God's word, because it is his meditation, because he studies it, because he knows it, it makes him wiser than his enemies, his teachers, and even old people who don't have the word of God. Through the word of God is what makes him wise. Because you can be old and really foolish. You can be young and really foolish. But what he's saying is if you have the word of God and you're meditating on it and delighting in it, that makes you wiser than your enemies, teachers, or even old people who don't have the word of God as their meditation. And so where do we find spiritual strength? Where do we get knowledge? From the word of God. From studying it and knowing it and loving it. And there are children, if they know the word of God, believe the word of God, and submit to the word of God, that have more wisdom and knowledge than a college professor. That's true. Because they see the world rightly as God sees it. There are college professors now that will not answer the question, what is a woman? They will not answer that. Actually, it was interesting. On Twitter, they put out that documentary so I could watch it for free. I watched it on Friday. Very interesting documentary. Very interesting documentary. And he would go to a person, literally, they didn't want to answer that question. It was actually interesting. In that documentary, he was asking the guy was wondering, why do you care about this? And he said, because I want to know the truth. And the guy was really upset about that type of statement. He was upset because he was saying he wanted to know the truth. He was offended by that. What in the world? You're a college professor and you're afraid about the truth? What is going on? And so, but this is the world we live in. But a child who has the word of God has more than that college professor because he has God's testimonies. I love how the documentary ends. Matt Walsh goes to his wife and he asks her, what is a woman? And she says, an adult female who needs your help. And she hands him something to open up. But we see that this is the reality of it, that when we have God's word, we have more knowledge than the world, even young children, because they see things as God sees it. And so we get wisdom from the word of God. It's interesting with Jesus as well. Jesus is a 12-year-old boy. He's in the temple. He's asking questions, answering questions. And they are shocked at this boy who knows all this. And he's a young boy. Why? Because morning by morning, he was hearing his father's words. And therefore, he had wisdom beyond his years, as we would put it, because his meditation was the law of God. His meditation was the law of God. And this is an encouragement for us. As the world is going crazy in so many ways, more so, we need the word of God in our heart and our mind so that we think rightly about the world that God has made. And we need God's word to make us wiser than our enemies, our teachers, and the ancients who do not have it. And then I'll just turn it and read it quickly, how it describes Jesus after the account of him amazing them with his knowledge to the religious leaders, the teachers in the temple. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus, who was the epitome, the ultimate example of someone who was wise and strong, but one who grew in knowledge and therefore grew in strength. It says he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He grew because he was truly a boy, and then he grew to a man, and therefore he grew because the word of God was his delights. The word of God was his delight. And so we need, by God's grace, to be hiding the word in our heart that we might be growing in wisdom. And a lot of what we, decisions that we have to make, choices that we make, are connected not necessarily always with black and white. Sometimes they are, but many times they're wisdom issues. And we need the word of God filtering our mind and our heart so that we could have strength and increasing strength by wisdom and knowledge. By wisdom and knowledge. And the place where you get that is the word of God. The place where you get that is the word of God. It's so important. It's so important. I haven't listened to it yet, but the text that Stan preached last Lord's Day, it was 1:10, right? Of Philippians?
Yes.
1:10. That's just a wonderful text related to these things as well, where it says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. But how are you going to approve the things that are excellent unless you have the word of God in your heart and in your mind? Because you don't approve in your own, like, it doesn't matter what you think is excellent. Only God defines what's excellent. And therefore, we must have the word of God in our heart. We must have the word of God in our heart. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or one that's maybe less well known, but I think just as good. How can a young man cleanse his way or keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. And so we need wisdom that comes from God through his word. And that is how we are to be strong and people of knowledge and strength. Now my second point. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It goes on to say, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So by wise counsel, we're able to wage our own war. And I think here it's talking about spiritual warfare, that we are able to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, our three great enemies. And we're able to do that by having strength through wisdom and knowledge, but also by wise counsel. By wise counsel. By wise counsel, we are able to see worldliness for what it is, see our fleshly desires for what they are, and we are able to see the attacks of the devil for what they are. We are able to see the world rightly by the word of God and by receiving wise counsel. And so we need counsel from others to be able to wage the good fight of faith. We need counsel to fight the good fight of faith. And so by wise counsel, you will wage your own war by hearing from others. I think this is an undervalued thing that people don't use as much as they should. Asking the counsel of other people, of what they think, getting their thoughts, hearing what they think, because we don't see everything or we don't see the reality of this or that. And it's good to receive from others counsel, so that we can understand, okay, I didn't see this, I didn't see that, and I understand now, since you're giving me counsel, what I didn't see, because we don't always see the whole picture, especially if it's something that we are emotionally attached to. We need the counsel of other people to be able to fight the good fight of faith. We need the counsel from others. And if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, we see there, in that portion of Scripture, where the counsel ultimately should rest in. This is the section about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so to summarize this section, we could put it like this, that wise counsel is people who are helping us, that are people of the Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer, because they have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and they are people that are praying for the saints. And therefore, through wise counsel, through receiving counsel from people who themselves are people of the word and people of prayer, we are able to wage our own war, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in this world. Because then it goes on to say in Proverbs, in these verses, that, "And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety." What that is getting at is the reality that by getting counsel from others, there is safety. Because if we try to do something just on our own initiative and it's a big decision and we don't care what anybody else is saying, we might be putting ourselves in harm's way. We might be foolishly saying, "I'm going to do this. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do it." But that is a place of harm and possible destruction. But in the multitude of counselors, if I'm hearing from this person, this person, this person, that they're saying, "This is a good idea," and they're people of the Word of God and prayer, and they're all giving me the green light, you know one thing I know? That there's probably safety in my decision. If I'm asking multiple people, and multiple people who are objective because their heart isn't invested, maybe like my heart is invested, and they're saying to me, or they're saying to you, if you're asking them counsel, "Yes, I think this is a good decision," then by doing that, you are able to have the freedom of knowing that there's safety in that. There is safety in that. Sadly, though, in our American culture, we are a lot of times individualists, where we just kind of, we do it, and we don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. It's I'm going to do it how I want to do it. That's not biblical, though. God has put us into a family, our biological family, and into a church family, and also the universal church family and a local church family, so that we would have the safety of hearing from others that could give us wise counsel. It's foolish for us to make decisions without receiving counsel from others, especially big decisions. I'm not saying every single decision. I mean, if you're going to go to the hardware store, you can just go. But big decisions, we should ask counsel from. Obviously, hopefully that goes without saying. But on big life decisions, we should ask counsel of what people think of our decisions. We should desire to hear the counsel of other people. We should want to hear their thoughts. We should want to get their counsel. Because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. And so we should want to hear what other people have to say. What do they think? What is their counsel on this situation? And it takes humility, because they might tell us something that we don't want to hear. They might tell us, I don't think this is good. And we were dead set on it, but we thought, you know what, I probably should ask somebody. And we must have the humility to hear from others so that we can truly listen to their counsel. Where we go to school, who we marry, what vocation we take, where we might move, what church we might go to. If we go to another church. All these type of decisions, we should get counsel from others so that we can make a wise decision. And especially for young people, as they're making big decisions, this is especially pertinent for you with your parents, with church family, with different things, to get counsel from others so that they can help you make wise decisions that would glorify God and be good for you. If you turn with me to Proverbs 18, we see the contrast of these realities. Someone who doesn't want to receive, doesn't want to hear from others, doesn't want to be around others because he just wants to do it his way. He doesn't want to hear what other people have to say. This is what the Proverbs say about that. Proverbs 18, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 18, 1 and 2. A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. Verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. So we see a man who isolates himself, all he's doing is seeking his own desire. He doesn't care what other people have to say. He doesn't care about the safety that comes from counselors. He rages against all wise judgment. He doesn't want to hear it because he wants to do it his way, no matter what. And then it says a foolish person is one who has no delight in understanding. He has no delight in thinking about the whole picture. He just wants to do it his way. And all he wants is people to hear his own heart. He doesn't want to hear anything that anybody else has to say. That's what a fool is like. But a wise person will receive the counsel of others because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. And so we need the strength, the spiritual strength that comes from God's word, and we need the humility to receive counsel from other people. To receive counsel from other people. Because we don't see everything. We have blind spots. We have areas where we don't see things exactly like we should. And therefore, we need the counsel of other people. Even sometimes the rebuke of other people so that we see things rightly, so that we can be faithful to God, and so that we can make wise decisions. And so this is so important that we have wisdom and that we hear the counsel of other people. Without Christ, without the salvation in Christ, we are fools. But when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is wisdom incarnate, who is the wisdom and power of God, the one who died and rose again to make us wise, because by nature we're foolish. By nature we have no delight in understanding, but only in hearing and expressing our own heart. But in Christ he gives us wisdom for time and eternity. And therefore, as God's people, we must grow. We must grow in spiritual wisdom and in spiritual strength. We must grow. We must grow in our knowledge of the truth so that we might be those who grow in strength and in knowledge and therefore are increasing in strength. And that only comes by the word of God read and applied to our hearts. We must read and hear and understand the Holy Scriptures. You must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, which only comes by hearing and heeding and obeying the Holy Scriptures. We need the word of God to saturate our thinking and our feeling and our acting so that our thoughts become less and less the world and more what the word of God says. And we also must be willing to walk and to get counsel. So if we see Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's the positive? Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly. If we are not to stand in the path of sinners, we are to stand in the path of the saints. If we're not to sit in the seat of the scornful, we are to sit in the seat of the reverent. And so we are to receive wisdom and counsel from others because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Getting godly counsel from other people is undervalued, but is such a blessing if we are able to humbly receive it. Maybe a personal question gets you thinking about this. When's the last time you've asked someone for counsel on a matter? When's the last time you've asked somebody for counsel? That shows you how much you think counsel is important. When's the last time you've asked someone, a trusted person, I'm struggling about this? It could be just a spouse. It could be a friend, brother, sister. I want your help. When's the last time you've done that? Because if it's true, and it is, that in the multitude of counselors is their safety, then if we really believe that, we would be asking people counsel pretty consistently. Because we would believe that we can't see everything and we need wisdom from other people. And so if you've never asked counsel from someone, that's a bad sign. Because there's not safety in that. And wisdom did not begin with you. And trust me, wisdom will not die with you. And therefore, we need the wisdom of others so that we can think about things rightly and sincerely. Asking people what they think about this or that situation. And again, this should go without saying, but I think it's pertinent to say, that doesn't mean ask anybody their counsel. There's a lot of people that you shouldn't ask their counsel because they would give you terrible counsel. And it would make things worse. We could say that in a multitude of counselors that are ungodly, there is destruction. But so that's why you should ask people who are walking in the whole armor of God, who people of prayer and the word, people who are going to help you. And even if you maybe will disagree with them, you at least hear them out because you know they're people of the book, the word of God, and they're people of prayer. And so we should be those who desire to hear from others. We want to be wise ourselves by hearing and heeding the word of God and by getting counsel from other people. By getting counsel from other people. And this is also why God has put you into a body. So you have your brothers and sisters to get counsel from, their thoughts, to get their help, so that you can make decisions that are not foolish, but wise. Because again, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amen. Our Father, we do thank you. Humble us. Help us glory in Jesus Christ. Help us glory in the fact that he has redeemed us and made us wise. And help us grow in spiritual wisdom and spiritual strength and be those who humble ourselves to receive counsel from others. And we pray you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.